Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, and we'll read one verse tonight to begin with. Proverbs 28, verse number 13. Now, we're going to be doing something a little bit different for the next few Wednesday nights. We're going to forego studying the book of John. I'll probably do that on Sunday nights during the month of March. But during the month of March, we have five Wednesday nights. And we're starting this Wednesday night, and we're going to take five, matter of fact, it's five Wednesday nights that we have before we have our revival in April. And that's what I pass this out to you, these sheets that I passed out to you, this study rather, is the title of it is A Heart Searching for Personal Revival. How many of you remember about 4 or 5 years ago when we went over this? We went over this about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was real good. It's convicting, and I just thought, you know what? Every 4 or 5 years, it's real good to go back through this thing, because this thing is focused on a man's heart. And what we want God to do is individually touch our hearts and prepare our hearts for revival, and then prepare the heart of this church for revival. Now, the verse I want you to look at, and this will be our theme verse through this for the next few Wednesday nights, will be Proverbs 28:13. And Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." But here's the part I want you to focus on. "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I want the mercy of God in my life, don't you? I want the mercy of God in this church and on this church, and I want them to show up for revival. And I know this. I know that if we want God to show up for this revival, if we mean business about God, and let me just poll you tonight. Is there anybody in here interested in really having revival? I'm not talking about having a meeting, and I'm not talking about setting some time to have some preaching and sitting around and eating, and all that's fun, and I enjoy that. But is there anybody here to say, you know what, I need a touch. I need a little shot of a spiritual vitamin B in my arm. I need to get a little bit closer. I've sort of drifted. The world and all these problems and struggles, my heart's not on fire for God like it did. There's some things that's crept in there. What we're going to do is begin tonight preparing our hearts for the upcoming revival. And I want to challenge you right here tonight, too. I think it's fitting to do it on the Wednesday night crowd. I know there's some people that are plugged in this church that can't come on Wednesday nights. I understand that. But the Wednesday night crowd is the nucleus of the church. And if there's any bunch that's going to pray and seek and cry out for God to do something, it'll usually be through the Wednesday night faithful crowd, the people that really mean business. I want to ask you for the next 5 weeks to pick out a day of the week or a time and do some fasting if you can. Now, some of you have some health problems that makes it where it's not so easy for you to fast. And I do understand that. And you may can just do half a day, or you may not can fast at all. I don't know what your health problems are, but I'd encourage you to fast on TV. I'd encourage you to fast doing something you want to do. I just want us to get our hearts together and show God tonight that we mean business. We need Him to move. We need Him to be amongst us. We need Him to do something in our lives. I'm telling you, we had a critical time again in the life of our church. There's no problems in the church. Everybody seems to be getting along. I'm happy with you. I hope you're happy with me. The church is chugging on along there. We're getting a few things done for God. People's learning some things, and we're trying to minister to people. But I still feel that, you know, the excitement's sort of gone, and there's not as much shout in the church as there would, and that can be caused by just life in general. Amen. Life ain't always exciting, is it? And it can be caused by sin, and it can be just caused by coldness, because we get too much world in our hearts sometimes, don't we? And so that's what we're going to do. And just remember this, another verse that we'll be want to try to remember as we go over this stuff. 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And of course, we know how that's applied to us as a Christian is our practical, it's a practical cleansing and a practical righteousness that we have. In other words, if we want to have our fellowship right with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to keep a short account with Him. We need to keep our sins confessed. He's forgiven us of all our sins. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. All right, but on your day-to-day walk, sometimes we let sin get in our heart, don't we? And it doesn't mess up our relationship, but it will mess up your fellowship. And what we have to do is keep these sins confessed and keep a short account with God and try to have Him do something with our day-to-day walk. Not our positional righteousness, but our practical righteousness is what can get marred. And we just need to pray that, Lord, if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to You, I want You to help me. I want to confess it to You. And with Your help, Lord God, I want to forsake it. Because He tells us in that verse, it's the fellow that confesses it and forsakes it. That's the one that gets mercy. Any of, you know, you're no more than just some kind of intervention committee or whatever. Everybody can stand up here and say, I'm wrong and I did this and I'm that and I'm wicked and I'm mean and I'm rotten. Okay, that's great. I mean, that's the first step. Amen. I mean, that's better than most. A lot of people can't admit it. But man, if you just admit it and sit back down, what have you done? Well, listen, what we need to do tonight and get in our mind tonight is we need to come to a place where we confess our wickedness and with God's help forsake it. The Bible says those people are the ones that's going to have the mercy of God. I don't know about you, but I need some mercy, don't you? I need the mercy of God. And be sure that we are quick to admit our wrong. And the thing is, we're going to have to answer these questions truthfully. Now, what you see is we'll have a series of scriptures and a series of questions. If you were here the last time we went through it, these are questions that go to your heart. These are not always necessarily things that people can see about you. These are not always necessarily things that are manifested on the outside, but these are questions that will pertain to your heart and to my heart. And let me just tell you something. Any type of movement of God begins on the inside. Anybody can clean up the outside and look good, like the Pharisees. But we want God to do something on the inside. And if God really does something on the inside, eventually it'll come on the outside. But we're worried about the heart tonight. My problem is my heart, okay? And I can tell you about revival. I heard a preacher say one time years ago, he said, if you want to have revival in your church, the first thing you got to do is draw a circle and you stand in it and say, this is where revival starts. You know, I'm going to all these church members that don't never come. Well, what are you going to do about that? That ain't none of your business anyway. Just pray for them. Well, my wife, and she ain't faithful. Well, what are you going to do about it? I can't get my husband to come. I understand all that. That pastor, if he just prayed more, amen, I know. But you can't do nothing about everybody else. And I think sometimes the reason we miss revival in our life, just to be honest with you, is we're so focused on what everybody else ain't doing. We're so focused on how everybody else won't do right. Listen, you're going to learn in life. I hope you've already learned it. You can't make nobody else do nothing. You can't make your spouse do right. You can't make your children do right. You can't make your friends do right. You can't make those people at school or at work do right. You can't make the people in the church do right. But I can have revival. This church can have revival. We can't change the wickedness of this country. No matter who you vote in. But this church don't have to be a lukewarm church. Amen. I don't have to be a lukewarm Christian. We can walk with God. We can live for God. God can do something for us. We can live for Him. So what we're going to do is we're going to cover three categories tonight. One category deals with us forgiving other Christians, which is vitally important to revival. I had a preacher tell me many years ago, he had been in the ministry for a while, and I hadn't been in the ministry very long. He said one of the major hindrances to revival is people sitting in the pews with unforgiveness in their heart. And I just listened to him and said, okay, yeah, whatever. But I'm going to tell you some years later, many years later, as I've been in the ministry for some years now, I've come to realize that preacher knew exactly what he was talking about. God will not touch a church where people won't even cross the aisles to talk to each other. That goes on in thousands and thousands of churches across this nation. People's mad with one another and unforgiving toward one another and resentful and holding grudges toward one another. That's not going to work. And then we're going to look at the thing about seeking God first. Putting putting him first place in our heart. There's no revival coming if we don't put him first in our heart. And then we're going to deal with the issue of are we being the witnesses we ought to be? And you say, well, that's an outward thing. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. If we're not witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ like we ought to, it starts because there's something wrong in our heart. Something has took the priority in our heart. Either it's fear or something that we're consumed with or something we care more about. We're just not willing to put in the time and the effort for it. So as you look at your paper tonight, look, you see it. You see all these questions we're going to begin like we did before, some 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was when we did this. You see the questions and look, this is not for nobody else to answer but you. I don't want nobody else knowing the answers to this but you and God, because that's all that matters. I mean, if you want you and your wife and husband, you want to share whatever, that's up between you. But I'm wanting you to do business with God. And what we're going to do is just for 5 Wednesday nights, we're going to look at some scripture. And when we look at the scripture, we're going to ask ourselves these questions. And you say, why are we going to spend 5 Wednesday nights on this? The same reason we did before. Because these questions we're going to ask ourselves is what's going to hinder God from moving in our lives. And whatever's there in our heart, we need to confess it and with God's help forsake it. And have a clean heart ready so when the preacher gets here, the ground of our heart's been broken up and it's ready for the seed. I'm telling you what, the sower will be good and the seed will be good. It'll be a King James Bible every night. But what I'm concerned about is the heart, it's the ground. What kind of ground is it going in? And we're going to begin through prayer in a few Wednesday nights, really focusing on this. So I want to encourage you to be here every Wednesday night you can. Be in prayer, have a prayerful attitude, come here expecting God to speak to you. All right, let's go over these tonight. And then at the end, we're going to take a time of prayer and personal consecration over these matters. Now, the first scripture we have here is one even, is Matthew 6 and verses 14 to 15. And it's talking about if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now this again, how it relates to us in the body of Christ is fellowship, not relationship. You've already been forgiven. When you're forgiven, God puts you into the family of God. Watch how you live or don't live or what you do or don't do. It has nothing to do with your salvation. You're sealed until the day of redemption. However, if you and I as a Christian have a problem with forgiving somebody, that will absolutely hinder your fellowship with Christ. You can keep listening. Everybody listen to me tonight. You can pray as much as you want to. You can go to church as much as you want to. You can read your Bible as much as you want to. You can put as much money into play. You can show up for street ministry and nursing home ministry and tract ministry and whatever other kind of ministry. I mean, you can look just real spiritual. But if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, it will stifle any revival that you're going to personally receive or this church. This church won't get it. This is a major issue. Here's the questions. You have to answer these honestly tonight, so let's do it. Is there anyone against whom you hold a grudge? Anyone here tonight when you say, I've got a grudge against them? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to answer that honestly tonight. A question closely related to it. Is there anyone whom you have not forgiven? I don't care if they're in this church. I don't care if they're saved or lost. Is there anyone here tonight? You can say, there's somebody in my life I haven't forgiven them. Now, Ephesians 4, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote these to you. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The biggest hypocrite in the world is a Christian that won't forgive others when Christ has forgiven him as much as he's had to forgive us. And you know what we'll do? We'll live like the devil for years and years, and God will save us, and we expect God to wipe the slate clean, and he will. We expect God to forgive us of everything and give us a new start, and he will. And then one of our brethren or sister in Christ does one little old thing and we can't get over it. They'll just mark them all. Now, we want God to forgive us of all this. We won't forgive somebody else or something like that. And we think God's going to bring revival in our life. Listen, let me tell you what forgiveness is too, okay? Forgiveness isn't letting somebody off the hook. Forgiveness is not saying what you did to me was all right. If they did something wicked to you, if they mistreated you, if they were very wrong to you, whatever they did was ungodly, they are held responsible for God. They were wicked. They did a wicked thing, and you don't have to just act like it didn't happen when it did. It did happen. And it's not asking you to overlook it or act like it didn't happen or excuse them. They have to get that right with God or they're going to be in trouble with God. That's not what forgiveness is. It's not condoning somebody doing something sinful and wicked to you. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a choice of the will. And once with my will, I forgive somebody. Later on, my emotion will catch up with it. But it may take a while. And when that emotion comes back, we say, I don't feel like I forgive him. I don't feel like I forgive him. You just say, no. On this day, I chose with the help of God for my will, not a feeling. It wasn't a feeling, but for my will, I chose to forgive them through the power of Christ. And that's what I'm standing on. Because when you have unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart, let me tell you something. It ain't hurting nobody but you. What's going to happen is somebody's done you wrong, and because of your unforgiveness and bitterness, you're going to get judged just like them. They're not worried about it. You're the one losing sleep. You're the one chewing Maalox tablets. You're the one that stomach's hurting and your blood pressure's running up. They ain't worried about it. And you say, somehow I'm just going to have this unforgiveness toward them and I'm going to get them back. No, you're not going to get them back. And by the way, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You let God take care of that. Well, they need to get what they deserve. Okay. Let's be fair about it then. I'm just trying to give you a new perspective, okay? Let's be fair about it. If you want them to get what they deserve, then let's all line up and make sure we get what we deserve. Why should you want that person that offended you to get what they deserve and you don't get what you deserve? You know what we all deserve? Hell. We're not excusing nobody or letting nobody off the hook tonight. They are in trouble, whether they're in trouble with the law or they're in trouble from reaping or they're in trouble with God or whatever. They get it. They deserve it. It's just when I say that I, from my heart, because God told me to, I forgive you. I put it under the blood. And you may not be able to forget it. They say forgive and forget. Well, that's what it says there. It says, is there any misunderstandings that you're unwilling to forgive and forget? It's hard for a human to forget. But ask God to help you forget it in this. Not that maybe you eradicate it from your memory, but that you don't dwell on it anymore. You're not harboring that bitterness and anger and resentment in you no more. And you say, God, with your help, no matter what they've done to me, I don't even care if they're dead. They may be dead. It may be somebody that died 15 years ago. He said, Lord, I release it. I don't want any more bitterness. I don't want any more anger, any more unforgiveness. It's going to ruin me spiritually, and it's going to prohibit me and this church from having revival. Notice this question there says, is there anyone that you hate? 1 John 2, verse number 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. God wants us to love one another. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? God, we're supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to hate one another. So you ask yourself, is there somebody that I hate or somebody I'm having trouble with? Listen, here's some good news with this. The Bible commands us to love one another. We don't have to like everybody. Amen. There are some people I don't like. I don't have to like them. I'm never commanded to like them. I'm commanded to love them. You say, what's the difference between loving and liking them? Well, if I love you no matter who you are, and I saw you drop down, if I knew how to resuscitate you, I'd do it. But like if you were Brother Steve or Darby or Tara or Anthony sitting here tonight, I'd be glad to do it because I'd be concerned. I love you. I want you to come back to life. And this fellow over here, I'd try to bring you back to life because I love you, but I didn't really like doing it. That's funny. You're supposed to laugh at that. You don't have to like everybody, but you need to love everybody. Here's another question. Is there any person against whom you're harboring bitterness, resentment, or jealousy? Who are you jealous of? You jealous of somebody in this church? Listen now. The reason I want you to hide this even from your spouse is not to keep something from them, but if you know your spouse is looking over at you, you're not going to be honest. All this is going to be in vain if you're not completely honest tonight. You know in your heart if you're jealous of somebody. You know that. And you've got to come to grips with it. Is there anybody that I'm harboring bitterness against? I resent them. I'm jealous of them. Be honest. They have more than me. They're smarter than me. They look better than me. They've done more than me. Their children are better than mine. Their husband's better than mine. Their wife's better than mine. I've worked hard all my life. I can't get a vehicle like they got. They just, everything they touch turns to gold. And everything I touch turns to wood, hay, and stubble. And I'm jealous of them. And nobody knows it but me and God. But it's true. That's the kind of stuff that's going to keep God from moving if we can get it out. Just get it out. Just puke that mess up tonight. Ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse you in him. That's something I found about this jealousy stuff. All of us from time, some people are more jealous and envious than others. I understand that. Some people just naturally are. That's just like some of you never have to battle being tempted by sweet things. And I do. I'll fight trying to resist cakes and cookies probably the rest of my life. And some people are have more of a tendency to battle jealousy and whatever. This thing about jealousy a lot of time. There's always somebody that's going to be better than you and always somebody going to be worse than you. In everything. You understand that? Always going to be somebody better looking than you. Always going to be somebody uglier than you. Somebody going to have more money than you. Somebody going to have less money. Somebody smarter than you. Somebody dumber than you. Somebody's got more. Somebody's got less. Somebody's more spiritual. Somebody's less. There's always somebody above you and always somebody below you. So just deal with it. You have to deal with it. Be thankful for what you have. And I'll tell you what's helped me. I'll tell you what's helped me. Now, this is going to sting a little bit, but it's helped me. So maybe if you can do it, it'll help you. What's helped me in times past when I got envious or got jealous or looked at somebody and thought that they were doing better, had more, the Lord would convict me and say, well, big boy, what have you done with the opportunity I gave you as compared to them? I mean, if you haven't taken care of what you've got and you've wasted your money and you haven't managed your money right and spend it right and look for the future, don't be jealous of the fella down the street or at work that's really, really sacrificed and really made sure he spent his money right and took care of it. Don't be jealous of them. You're the one that's got the problem. I've looked at folks before and I said, man, why have I got to be such a fat preacher? And the Lord said, well, maybe that fella exercised. Maybe that fella wanted two pieces of chicken and he ate one when you ate three. Don't be jealous and envious of him. Kick your own self in the butt, Dennis. You had the same opportunity to push back from the table he did. Amen. 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 That'll help you not to be jealous and envious of people. Sometimes you're jealous and envious of them for what they got, but you had, and now it's not always equal, but a lot of times you had the same opportunity to do with something with it. You just, you can't say that word, you just messed up and threw it away. You didn't take advantage of it. They did. So why should you be jealous of them? Amen. I'd love to have, I'd just like to have a marriage like that guy. Well, you married out of the will of God. You didn't even pray about who you're supposed to marry. Didn't even care who God wants you to marry at the time. Don't be jealous of them because they got a good marriage. They did it right. Amen. Are you getting this? If you get a hold of that stuff, you won't be near as jealous of people. I think sometimes, so-and-so, I like to be spiritual. Like, boy, he just seems like he's got it all together as a Christian. Sometimes I get envious of people like that. And then God said, okay, big boy, you got the same shot to be spiritual as they do. Do you read your Bible like they do? Do you pray like they do? Do you fellowship with me like they do? Don't be jealous of that fella. You want a spiritual walk like he has, you can have it. You're just too lazy to get it. And that helps you a little bit with that jealousy, then, don't it? Instead of focusing on them, you say, I'm the one that's blown the thing. I'm the one that's just made a mess of my life. Hallelujah. God can fix it, though, can he? Anyone he dislikes to hear praise or well spoken of, just rubs you wrong if anybody brags on them. There's a problem there in your heart, if that's it. Do you allow anything to justify a wrong attitude toward another? You know there's no justification of sin. You make excuses for it. I know I shouldn't feel this way, but. And if they hadn't have done that to me, you know. I shouldn't have blacked my wife's eye, but she shouldn't have hollered at me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always making an excuse. You can't get no help when you make excuses. You know what that Bible says? That Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. And that's how we just come to God. We say, God, there ain't no excuse for it. I shouldn't have done it. I did it. I've been feeling this way. I said this or did this. Forgive me. Here we go. Second category, Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things should be added unto you. This is a very good verse, and this is something we don't apply. But here's the thing. The Lord wants us in everything in our life to put him first. 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 First place. Above it all. And that's why many times people are not faithful to do the things God's called them to do because he's not first place. We have many folks that are not plugged into church as they used to be. We have many folks that just, we have several families in this church right now that I remember a time when they was there, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. They're not coming. I may be talking to one of you tonight. You know you used to be faithful. You're not nearly as faithful anymore. You blow off the services. You've got other things planned you think's more important. You haven't put God first. You say you have with your lips. And until you come to the point tonight where you say, God, I haven't put you first. I put other things and other activities above you. There's no revival. You've got to come clean with God. You've got to confess and forsake. Notice what it says. Have your decisions been made after your own wisdom and desires rather than seeking and following God's will? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Boy, we're pretty good at trying to figure it all out and run our own lives, ain't we? And then we get mad with God when things go to pieces. What do we expect when we run it? It ain't going to turn out right. Amen. It ain't going to turn out right if we run it. We want to take the steering wheel. That stupid song that came out years ago, Jesus, take the wheel. Bless God, when you went in the ditch, you ought already had the wheel. I like that parody song that come out after that where he said, Cletus, take the reel. I got more out of that than I had out of that stupid song. Some of these stupid, I don't want to get on this tonight and ruin the meeting. I mean, stupid country songs. What was that stupid thing we heard the other night about? She loves me like Jesus. I hope to God you don't like that song. Please don't look at me if you like that song. That's the stupidest, most ungodly, wickedest thing ever played on a stupid country radio station. Amen, that's good preaching. Ain't nobody love you like Jesus, you beer guffing, fornicating, whoremonging sucker. Anyway, I'm not preaching on that tonight. Cock picker loved me like she loves me like Jesus. Yeah, all them country singers, CMT bunch, that Nashville bunch, either they're going to be bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ, they ain't going to have nothing, they're going to burn in hell. And they're robbing you of your rewards riding around singing that junk. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. That'll stop revival too. Amen. Listen to that junk. Ride around, listen to that country western music, and I want to be like them. Yeah, boy. Anyway, let's go on. Please. Do any of the following in any way interfere with your surrender and service to God. He lists seven things here, folks. Seven things that you better keep in check always. Number one, ambition. Do you have any ambition that doesn't line up with what God wants you to have? Pleasures. Boy, we preached on that, didn't we? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Loved ones. Are you putting your family ahead of God? No revival. You better repent of that. Friendships. I care more about what my friends think about me than I do the Lord. It will stifle revival in your heart and in this church. Amen. Desires for recognition. I want to be recognized by man. Love the praise of man more than the praise of God. We preached on that not long ago. That'll stop it. Money. Money, 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 money. Stupid Americans think Donald Trump's going to help this country. I tell you what, he's liable to do it worse than the one we got. He's an ungodly man, a wicked man. Yes, I don't care if you did vote for him yesterday. He's wicked. You keep looking at me, I'll preach some more. Bunch of money-hungry Americans is all you are. You vote by your pocketbook instead of what God says about something. Donald Trump ain't never cared about doing what that book says. He could care less. You just think he's going to help America's economy. What about America's spirituality? About as political as I get. Your own plans. I got my future so bright. I got to wear shades. I got it all laid out, brother. Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. One final category. This is about being a soul winner and a witness. Mark 16:15 is the scripture he has listed. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just three questions tonight. Have you failed to seek the lost for Christ? You say, well, that's an outward thing. That's something you do. Yeah, but the reason you're not conscious of souls is something's in your heart wrong. I just recently, the Lord's really been dealing with me about that again, and I'm conscious to make sure I get tracks and try to look for opportunities and try to talk. Been a while since I personally won a soul. And I need to win another soul. I need to be a better witness. I want my heart to be thinking about people going to hell. Have you failed to witness consistently with your mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ? Not this lifestyle evangelism junk. Now listen, you ought to live right in front of people. You can witness to them all you want. If they see you living like the devil, it ain't going to do no good. But it's more than just the way you live. You've got to open up your mouth and tell them about Jesus. And number three, has your life not shown to the lost the Lord Jesus? Now that's the problem here. I want to end, and let's look at one verse together tonight as we get ready to close. Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15. This is how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do in front of people. How many of you believe that we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation?
Amen.
I hope you believe that, and we're going to read that in the Bible. However, God's put us in the midst of this perverse and crooked nation so that they can see some light. They can get some truth. They can get some help. Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Without rebuke. You ought to be doing right. You ought to be living right in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We're supposed to be bright lights in this crooked and perverse world. And we do have the truth. We're the only ones that have the truth. The born-again children of God. We have the truth. Now, tonight, as we get ready to close, everybody look up here at me. We're going to just take a few minutes to do personal business for God. And this is a time, if you need to come to the altar, I'm going to invite you in a moment to come. Please don't rush this. We've went over it. We've covered it. I've asked you to be honest. I hope you've been honest with the Lord. And we want God to do something in our hearts tonight. We want to come to God. First of all, listen. We want to pray that God will break our hearts over this stuff. want to come pray that God will break our heart over this stuff. This stuff is bad, okay? I want to ask God to give us a repentant spirit over it. And ask God to give us the mercy, not to just confess it tonight, but forsake it. We're talking about how you are in relationship with someone else. You have a grudge. Are you unforgiving toward people? Somebody you just don't like. You're having jealousy and bitterness. You're justifying your wrong behavior. You haven't put God first. You've sought what you wanted over what He wants for you. And you said, I just really don't care who goes to hell. And you said, no, I haven't said that with my mouth. Yeah, but your heart and your actions have showed that. Tonight is a night on this very first sheet to come clean before God. We'll have four more Wednesday nights, Lord willing, before revival to go over many more questions. And I tell you what, it'll be a heart searching, all right, and it'll be a cleansing. But we've got to be honest, we've got to come clean, and we've got to have a desire to see God cleanse our hearts. Every head back.